Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight you are about to be part of a very special broadcast. This is Adam Kane speaking, and I would like to invite you to a tale of romance, deception, intrigue, and murder. Tonight's program is entitled, I Left My Heart with the War, as narrated by the indispensable Ben Fisher, and played by, yours truly as Alejandro and General Adolfo Stellino, the gallant Brant Denherter as Leonard, the wonderful Elena Wright as Rose, the lovely Renee Lumia as Madalena, the sideburned Matt Whittlesey as the mob boss, the spunky Spencer McFarland as Dirty Vinny, and the mysterious Stephen Wang as a man of mystery. Tonight's program was written by yours truly and produced and conceived by the minds of Brant Denherter, Stephen Wang, and myself. So now, I bring you to a production that will capture your heart, captivate your minds, and shiver your bones. I bring you to the story of a complex love rhombus comprised of broken hearts. I bring you to I Left My Heart with the War. Enjoy.
The bus parted from Alejandro as he stepped into his old neighborhood, a small, suburban paradise he once lived in only a few years ago. The cul-de-sac remained as he remembered, and he sighed a breath of contentment as he searched for his home. Alejandro stood tall as a robust, brawny man with a thin mustache spread across his lips like a caterpillar. His hair slicked backwards in a sopping clump of hair gel, save a single hair that dangled over his forehead. He wore a white-collared shirt that had been opened just far enough down the chest to provoke a nun. As he walked, he felt a sudden dizziness come upon him. The dark images of his past came flooding in. Flashes of war, piercing his mind. Oh, the terror! The guns, the fighting, the slapping. That interrogation room. He remembered them all. And suddenly, they left him. He shook his head, feeling flushed, and he continued on his way. He noticed a sign posted on the street light along the sidewalk. On it was a sketch portraying a dark figure in a hat and a trench coat. And above it read, Have you seen this man? He is wanted for the murder of the following people. Alejandro passed it by, unable to think about anything but home. There sat the lovely Rose, young and of a quiet beauty. She had scarlet lips and crimson hair, fluttering eyelashes, and a flattering, quaint smile. She sat there on the couch, guiltily indulging in the steamy tales of a romance novel entitled Steamy Tales, a Romance Novel, when suddenly she heard the doorbell sound.
Alejandro, you've returned! Oh, I never thought I'd see you again.
She embraced Alejandro tightly.
I've missed you dearly, my sweet Rose. Please, let's go inside, shall we?
Alejandro and Rose walked into the living room. Alejandro looked about at all the old paintings, plants, and furniture that composed his old home, and he smiled. Rose still marveled at the spectacle of her deceased spouse now looking unto her once more, was flooded with excitement.
I thought you were dead. Everyone did. How are you here? Oh, Alejandro, I thought I was a widow. The military had said you were dead. It's been unbearable. Thank God you're here. 7 years, Alejandro. 7 years since you left. 7 years!
It's been a long journey, my dear. I have many tales to recount. But first, a nap.
2 hours passed. Alejandro, sleeping like a cat on the couch, was suddenly interrupted by a shrill,
Alejandro!
Yes, right, the whole gone for 7 years thing. Well, my dear Rose, as you well know, I had been commissioned to the infantry those many years back to fight in the horrid American-Italian War. You see, only 4 months into my commission, our infantry had been surrounded by the enemy and held captive. Our commanding officer had failed to settle a negotiation with their ruthless leader, General Adolfo Stellino. Apparently, our military had cut off negotiations with him at $50. Stellino kept us in those tiny tents and made us watch them eat hot meals. We were there for years, and all seemed hopeless. Until, one fateful day, I met the lovely... The lovely Lieutenant Bill came and saved me. Yes.
Oh, well, that's absolutely tremendous. However did you get out of there?
We ran really fast.
That's all you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, there's really nothing much to it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, then, perhaps you can tell me more at another time, when you're not so exhausted.
Yes, perhaps.
I'm just so glad you're back.
Rose again hugged Alejandro. Tranquilly, he closed his eyes. Rose, however, wore worrisome eyes as her arms, currently around and behind Alejandro, discreetly and slowly removed her new engagement ring from her finger. Weeks had passed. It was a Monday, and Alejandro was yet again putting on his trench coat and hat. Rose, quietly scrubbing the dish in the sink, watched him, concerned. Alejandro began to step out of the house.
Where are you going?
Out.
Why don't you tell me where you've been going during the day? You've only been home a few weeks, Alejandro.
I promise you, it is no concern of yours.
You haven't been the same since the war.
Darkly spoke Alejandro.
Because I left my heart with the war.
The door closed solemnly as Rose began to weep. She left the kitchen and walked to the window by the front door, watching her beloved Alejandro walk away from her, wondering about his strange state of mind. She left the window and ran to the kitchen. She opened a drawer below the counter and pulled out the engagement ring she had been hiding away. Its diamond, a scintillating beauty shimmering and shining, lay cradled on a silver band, reflecting its brilliance into Rose's eyes. But Rose looked past the diamond and into the thoughts of its giver. Leonard Steinpukes. Leonard, slack-jawed and dim, was draped in yet another gaudy, loud-colored Hawaiian shirt. Today was orange, as well as his cargo shorts and knee-high socks. He mindlessly combed over and over a single hair that stood atop his soft head, when suddenly the doorbell rang. Leonard quickly shot his reflection a wink as he left to answer. Without so much as an introduction.
He's back, Leonard.
Aren't you going to say hello? We are getting married soon.
Leonard said, ever adoring of Rose, oblivious to her state.
Leonard, Alejandro's back from the war.
Alejandro? The Alejandro that's been gone for 7 years? The Alejandro I used to play badminton with?
Yes, that Alejandro. Your former best friend and my former husband.
Oh my. I thought he was dead.
We all did.
Well, gee, this is wonderful news. I can't believe this. I'll call him up.
No, you idiot. Before you do anything, don't you realize he doesn't know about us? About how we're engaged?
Engaged?
To be married?
Oh. Oh, no.
Look, we just hold off the wedding for a bit and not tell him, okay?
Well, you're gonna have to tell him at some point, Rose. He's gonna find out.
Yes, I know. But right now, he's in a very fragile state. He's been acting very strange lately, going places during the day, and I don't know where. We need to wait a while before we tell him anything. I'm afraid the slightest upset will make him go berserk.
Okay, but you have to tell him at some point.
Rose turned away from Leonard and began to exit the house. Reluctantly, she said,
okay.
Rose?
Yes, Leonard?
Do you still have feelings for him like you did?
All old flames die out, Leonard, when you leave them for a while.
Meanwhile, Alejandro walked along the streets wearing a dark scowl. Yet again, visions of the war plagued his mind. He shook them off, his eyes glazed with jaded callousness to the world around him. He came to his destination, a dank alleyway that lay between two unmarked warehouses in the depths of downtown. He looked left and right, and proceeded into the shadowy urban abyss. He came to the back entrance of one of the warehouses and entered. Before him sat a mob of men around a card table, filling the room with smoke, meticulously solving a challenging puzzle that, at this point in time, partially depicted a unicorn. Upon Alejandro's entrance, the mob lay their pieces down and looked at him, expectantly. Later that night, Rose walked frantically from Leonard's house back to her own across town. She came to the intersection that joined Leonard's neighborhood to hers. As she worriedly crossed the sidewalk, she ran into a woman passing by, insensitively remarking,
"Watch it! You watch it!"
Rose continued on her way. Eventually arriving at the house, she opened the door to find Alejandro sneaking in through the back window. He looked at her like a deer in the headlights, frozen. Rose stormed off to bed, not saying a word. It was the next day. Leonard stood once more at the mirror, his eyes dull, combing that same single hair. The telephone rang.
Hello?
Leonard?
Who is this I'm speaking to?
It's your old friend, Alejandro. Your colleague from about 7 years ago. We played badminton together.
Oh, Alejandro! I can't believe it! You're back! When did this happen?
Only a few weeks ago. Would you like to have a coffee so I may spin many a yarn, as they say?
Oh, I don't know, Alejandro.
Leonard looked over nervously at the picture frame on the counter.
Oh, come on, Leonard. It's been 7 years.
Well, all right. The dolphin probably wouldn't get mad if we only had a little coffee together.
Mistakenly, Leonard was referencing the portrait of a dolphin that stood on the counter next to a photograph of Rose.
What?
Sorry, I meant your wife probably wouldn't get mad if we had only had a little coffee together.
What?
Nothing. Meet me at my house around noon. Bye.
Later that day, Alejandro and Leonard held their rendezvous on Leonard's back porch. They sat there, looking out into the woods, sipping their coffee.
Yes, he's been all over town. It's dreadful, really.
Alejandro handed back the print of the wanted criminal to Leonard.
I never would have dreamed such a maniac in this town.
Well, let's talk about something a little less dark. Have I told you about my new business?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, I must say, it's booming. I'm a staple remover.
Oh, what now?
I remove staples for people. People call up the number, and I rush over to remove their staples. Here's my card.
Leonard handed Alejandro a frightening monstrosity of a business card. It was composed of a color scheme that could have been extracted from the vomit of a gorilla. Printed on it was the image of Leonard wearing a moronic grin, wielding an oversized staple remover. Next to this image read, Leonard Steinpukes, the stapist, professional staple remover. Alejandro, attempting to repress a gag reflex, said,
And has this been bringing in much revenue?
Oh, yes. I've been averaging about $9 a week. You'd be amazed how slow some months go, though.
Yes, I could, but is that really enough to get by on?
Oh, no, not really, but I'm not worried. Rose is providing most of the income from her job, and...
Pardon?
And yes?
Did you just say that
no.
Rose... But you just...
Nah, no.
Well, I think I'll be off then. Good speaking to you, Leonard.
Yep.
Alejandro removed himself from the patio, sensing a strange darkness behind Leonard's ostrich-like glare. In the murky underbelly of downtown, the mobsters sat in their cloud of cigarette smoke, playing cards, wrestling thumbs, dusting shelves, and washing dishes as Radio Disney played ominously quiet in the background. In the next room, Alejandro sat down to make a request to the head honcho of the mob, the big kahuna, the bodacious minotaur, the gargantuan boxer brief, the man with the yellow hat.
I need you to hire one of your men to follow this man.
Alejandro slammed Leonard's business card on the mob boss's desk. The mob boss, a short individual who always had shadows covering his eyes, sat behind a large desk with two incredible men behind him, as well as a less incredible third man. The boss studied the card. Leonard's unbridled idiocy shone through the print.
And what exactly do you mean by follow? That can go a lot of ways, my friend.
I want to know if he's having an affair with my wife!
Alejandro, you've been a part of our organization for only a few weeks now. Why should I do this for you?
I'll make a deal with you. I will be indebted to you one favor. Anything.
Very well. I'll hire Dirty Vinny here to do the seedy underbelly work. He's my son, but he's basically expendable.
Behind the mob boss appeared a lanky, imbalanced minion. His eyes each stared off blankly in opposite directions.
Yes, I'm... familiar with Vinny. He's the one that brought me to the organization.
All right then. We'll have him do some snooping for a while and report back. Can you do that for us, Vinny?
Dirty Vinny, voyeuristic villain of the back alley mob, watched Leonard in all of his day-to-day activities. He watched him open the mail. He watched him eat breakfast. He watched him bathe. He watched him comb his hair, all unbeknownst to simple Leonard. Many long, arduous, intriguingly pleasurable days of stalking passed before anything of significance occurred.
Rose, how's my conniving little bloodsucker?
Relax, Leonard. I'm gonna tell Alejandro about us soon enough.
Well, you better, because I think he's on to us. I can't lie to him anymore. The other day he called me and asked if I want to have dinner with the two of you. You know what I said? Sorry, I already have plans with your wife. He's gonna find out, and if you don't tell him and break it off, this is gonna end very badly for Leonard.
I know. Just give me a few more days. Just a few.
Vinny realized the significance of that which he was spying on, and began to take photographs of the scene. The photographs portrayed this story. Rose and Leonard argued and argued, and Leonard resolutely pointed at the ring on his finger. They drew closer, and she kissed him softly and reassured him of her love. Rose left the room, and Leonard wept like a malcontented infant on the floor, curled in a fetal position. Vinny reported his findings to the mob boss. They were spread in a row across his desk when he called Alejandro in. He spoke in a cold voice.
Send Alejandro in here, won't you?
Hey, Alejandro, get your butt in here.
We've got some information on your friend Leonard.
And? Is he having an affair with my beloved?
See for yourself.
Alejandro saw the picture set plainly before him.
Dear God, I had feared it would be so. Why? Oh, why must such tragedy fall upon my shoulders?
Who talks like this? Really?
Maybe he's on medicine.
Though it is under woeful circumstances. Thank you for revealing these truths. Vinny, I want you to keep investigating if they do anything else.
I'm sorry for you.
Ah, truth! Candidate unmerciful, it remains untouched by the burden that is emotion, that which drags man deep, deep into the depths of his own downfall. Truth is as truth is.
Oh, he's standing up now.
Unladen,
what is this?
Unforgiving,
Alejandro,
unbridled.
We really should.
Oh, but love! Cursed plague of the mind and heart that strangles the throat.
This is
freaking
ridiculous.
I am but a speck in an infinitesimal.
Back in the home of Rose and Alejandro, Rose was again reading her captivating romance tales, when suddenly...
You damn dirty wench! You've been seeing Leonard this whole time!
Alejandro! Wherever did you get a crazy idea like that?
Oh, don't play coy with me, you double-crossing weasel! I know all about you and Leonard!
I don't know what you mean!
Then what's this?!
Alejandro slammed on the table a picture of Rose kissing Leonard. Rose stared at it aghast.
Alejandro, I can explain!
Oh, please do! I would love to hear all about it!
I'm engaged to Leonard.
Come on, spill the beans.
I just told you.
Just admit it.
I'm engaged to Leonard, Alejandro.
I knew it.
But you don't understand, Alejandro. They pronounced you dead. I was declared a widow.
And so you were just ready to move on just like that?
I'm so sorry, Alejandro. You have to understand. I didn't want to live alone for the rest of my days.
Very well. I will forgive you, Rose. If you do one thing for me, you must leave Leonard for good.
Okay, Alejandro. I will leave Leonard. For you.
Thank you, my dear.
Alejandro tenderly placed his hand on Rose's shoulder, and then embraced her. They stood there, silent.
What do you mean you're not sure if you're going to break up with him?
There stood Leonard in his living room, confronting whom he thought was the love of his life.
Leonard, you have to understand. I was married to him. And let's be honest. Our relationship began because I needed someone after they told me he died.
Huh. So is that all I am to you?
No. Our relationship turned into something so much more than that. But now that he's back, well, I don't know.
You know what, Rose? Fine, be with him. You don't need to worry about me anymore.
No, Leonard, don't go. I'm not sure what to do. I still want you, probably.
I'm not gonna wait on you, playing with my heart like it's some sort of thing to play with. Goodbye, Rose.
Leonard stormed out of the house defiantly.
This is your house, idiot!
I have realized this and would appreciate it if you left through the back door.
The night came. Leonard sat slouched on his couch in the darkness of his living room, sorrowful and studying a small staple that he had removed on the jaw last week. But then, fate.
Can I help you?
Behind that door was a breathtaking creature, a lovely brown-eyed goddess that stood modestly with brunette curls and the countenance and grace of a doe. Her hands held delicately in front of her a large piece of luggage.
Yes, sorry to bother you. My name is Maddalena Stellino, and I was told to look for you.
Huh? What for?
Well, it's a long story. May I please come in?
Well, I have no idea who you are or why you tracked me down, but sure, why not? Come on in.
Leonard brought Maddalena to the living room, politely allowing her to struggle with her own luggage. They sat down on the couch.
I'm so glad I found you. I've come a long way.
Yes, I noticed an accent. German?
No, I am Italian.
Huh, I was close.
Well, as you know, the Italian-American War has been going on for years now. My father is a general of the Italian army, you see, General Adolfo Stalino. He and I never really got along. We would fight so much about everything. One particularly fateful day, though, only a few years ago, had changed our relationship forever. One bright, sunny morning, Father's men had captured a man from the American infantry. Our eyes met while he was brought to his knees and slapped about like a sock monkey. It was a beautiful moment. After he'd been thrown into a cell, I came by to bring him some food. I asked his name. Alejandro. Alejandro.
Leonard's eyes widened enormously.
As I watched him guzzle his water and eat like a starved rat, I fell in love with him.
Leonard's eyes bugged to a disturbing diameter, and his jaw fell open, more so than usual.
I talked to him in that cell for hours, and we have grown to love each other over these years. We talked many nights. He would ask me to come home with him and live in his home in New Hampshire. However, our passionate affair could only last so long, you see. Once, my father caught us, and we were both in trouble. Father beat him senselessly. He would have his men slap him over and over. Oh, the slapping! Father said he would deal with me later. I visited Alejandro one dark night after one of his cruel beatings, and he told me what kept him going was his love for me. It was in this moment I realized I could no longer allow him to be imprisoned. My cousin, Vinny, one of the guards of the prisons, said he would help me in releasing Alejandro. We let him out of his cell in the middle of the night, and he kissed me and told me that he would someday return. Vinny escorted him out of the camp, and neither one of them returned. Honestly, I didn't miss Vinny that much. No one did. That was a year ago. Once Father discovered Alejandro was missing from his cell, he turned to me and cursed me out of the family. Exiled from my own family, I left for Italy in search of the one man that cared for me, Alejandro. Upon arriving in America, my first objective was to contact him. I arrived on the docks of New York and recalled that Alejandro said he lived in New Hampshire, so I began to walk in whatever direction New Hampshire was.
So why did you look me up?
Because most of the people I asked, the people at the Federal Office of Looking for People, said they had not heard the whereabouts of Alejandro in years. They thought he was dead. They said I should find you, his best friend.
How strange. So you came all this way from Italy?
Yes, by boat. It was a long journey. Now, I just want to find my Alejandro, to be in his comforting arms.
Well, Marmalade...
It's Maddalena.
Maddalena, I don't know how to tell you this, but Alejandro...
Leonard's eyes grew devious as he began to piece together an ingenious plot of revenge.
Alejandro has a wife.
What?
Yeah, he'd been married years before he went to the war.
No. How could this be? He wanted me to come back with him.
Well, apparently he fed you a load of garbage.
Oh no. This... I...
Maddalena erupted in waterfalls on Leonard's shoulder. As she wailed like a dying beluga on Leonard's shoulder, a sinister grin emerged on his imbecilic face. He looked over her shoulder at the pictures of Rose and the dolphin that stood on the counter. He turned away from them. His heart turned a bubbling cauldron of hate and maniacal deceit.
It's okay. I'm here for you.
Thank you.
Leonard drew closer to Maddalena. Though tears ran down her cheeks, she looked to Leonard with a light of promise in her eyes, and they looked onto each other tenderly, softly. There, as they leaned in closer, sat Dirty Vinny behind the couch, somewhat frozen at the intimacy of the two strange people before him. Reluctantly, but then excitedly, he began to snap pictures. Back at the mob house, Vinny presented the boss with the scandalous photos of Leonard and Maddalena.
I can honestly say I did not expect this. He's with another girl? Seriously? What kind of scumbag does that?
Vinny's only response was a wall-eyed glare void of brain activity.
Can you not do that, please? Jesus.
Vinny turned to the corner of the wall and studied its curious specks.
This girl in the picture, she looks awfully familiar. And Vinny, you say she's your cousin?
Vinny nodded from the corner.
That is interesting, considering you, my son, are my son.
Vinny turned and smiled goonishly at the mob boss, belting, Daddy!
Now who in our family... She looks so much like my niece from way back when. But I couldn't recognize her now, it's been so long. And besides, she lives all the way in Italy with the rest of the family. I'll call up my brother, Adolfo. Perhaps he can shed some light on this.
Ahoy.
Hey, Dolphy, it's your brother. I know we haven't spoken in a while, but I had a question.
Yes?
Well, you see, I was just thinking about family and all, and I was wondering how your daughter has been these past few years.
A little traitor. I haven't spoken to her in months. Ever since some American bastard I captured had escaped. She loved him or something or other. Probably went to find him. That guy really messed things up at the fort here. I tell you, if I could get my hands on him...
So she's in America?
Yes, I believe so.
What if I told you my son Vinny discovered she's getting with an American guy right now?
Oh, I bet it's that bastard that had escaped the fort! That little freak I...
Not to worry, General Brother. We can take care of him. Bring in Alejandro. Alejandro, I have a mission for you.
What is needed of me?
Well, Alejandro, as you know, you have only been a part of our organization for a few months now, and so far we have not asked much of you.
Well, it was that time you assigned me to pillage that small town in the Philippines.
That was a strange assignment for all concerned, but besides that, as I recall, you promised me a favor.
Yes, I do recall.
I feel that this assignment will both fulfill your debt and also prove your loyalty to the organization. Alejandro, I need you to take care of someone for me.
All right. Who?
That's what makes this such an important assignment. He's someone close to you. Very close. For reasons I do not wish to divulge, I need you to kill your friend, Leonard.
What? I can't do that. He's my best friend. Sure, we've had some quarrels, but why must I do this?
My reasons for this murder, no matter how petty, are of no concern to you. You must kill him, Alejandro. Are we going to have a problem?
The accent of his implication summoned four hulking cronies from the shadows, each carrying a weapon more menacing than the next. A metal bat, chains, a tennis racket, and a sponge. Alejandro absorbed the consequences of this great task, and finally, but reluctantly, declared,
No, I'll do it.
Excellent.
I shall commit the deed. A murder most foul! I will betray
the laws of...
From darkness to darkness, the lightning smote the skies and flashed a blinding photo of the town below. The rain flooded down relentlessly on the many little New Hampshire homes, and among those homes was the dwelling of Leonard Steinpukes, who stood at the mirror in a pink bathrobe, slapping cologne against his cheeks. He grabbed his comb and stroked his hair with the utmost delicacy and idiocy. In an echo that carried throughout the house, the doorbell rang once more.
I'll get it! Oh, Alejandro, what are you doing here?
There stood Alejandro, drenched and drunken, his hat crooked and his trench coat slouching on one shoulder. He dropped a flask from his hand and raised a pistol from the other, saying not a word.
Alejandro? What? Oh, dear God, please not me, please, I'm sorry about everything, please!
Alejandro advanced into Leonard's house in an inebriated stumble, Leonard stepping back, leading them both into the living room.
I didn't want to have to do this, Leonard.
I promise you don't.
Oh, but I must be a friend.
Oh, come on, Alejandro. Remember all the good times we had way back when playing badminton? Remember that time we went out to lunch and I almost told you I'd been seeing your wife for years behind your back? Or that time we went line dancing together? That time we went to the park and had ice cream cones?
Alejandro began to lower his gun. He wore astonishment on his face, his eyes searching his very own heart.
I don't think I can kill you, Leonard.
No, you can't.
I mean, after all that we've been through.
And suddenly, from the banister, a beckon.
Leonard, dear, is everything all right? Alejandro? Is that you?
Madalena, draped in an oversized Hawaiian shirt, stood at the top of the stairs.
Madalena! Leonard, have you been seeing her too?
Oh, I've been seeing her all right.
I'll kill you!
Well...
A lifeless Leonard lay limp on the floor.
Ah! Alejandro, how could you? He was my only love. Well, sorta.
Madalena ran toward Leonard and held him in her arms, crying. Alejandro, realizing the tremendous implications of his actions, frantically fled from the scene. He ran out into the dark, damp street toward his old home, that small suburban paradise. He ran and ran, covering his hands over his face, when an insanity washed over him. He wiped the shame from his face and replaced it with a mad grin as he approached his home. The howl of the thunderous night shook the house as Rose attempted to finish her novel. As she suddenly turned to the last page.
Oh, Rose, I'm home!
Alejandro, what on earth are you doing?
We can finally be together as we were, Rose. Finally.
What? What are you talking about, Alejandro?
We can finally be together in peace. Leonard's no longer a problem for us. I took care of him.
What do you mean you took care of him?
Upon this question, stormed in Madalena.
Alejandro, how could you?
Madalena!
Who is this?
Madalena swiftly drew a pistol from her pocket and aimed it at Alejandro.
How could you, Alejandro? You made me fall for you, run back to America, all this time being married, and lie to me. And then you killed my sweet Leonard. You monster.
Wait, Alejandro, what did she just say? Is she telling the truth?
It doesn't matter what he says. It's a lie.
Ah, who the hell are you anyways?
It doesn't matter.
Alejandro!
Rose ran to Alejandro's side. He clutched his chest with a blood-stained hand. He looked at her with fading eyes.
Alejandro, are all these things true?
I'm afraid so, Rose. They are true. She was a poor substitute for you, though, really.
Oh, Alejandro, I still love you.
Oh, dear Rose, your eyes, they twinkle in the like the springtime blossoms, Guildenstern.
Well, I can't say I'm going to miss that. Oh, Alejandro! Alejandro!
Oh, don't be so sorry. He was a double-crossing rat.
Ah!
Rose erupted in a volcanic rage, leaping from her place and tackling Madalena. They rumbled and tumbled and bit each other's hair, kicked, scratched with their razor-sharp nails, and slapped in a mess of feminine fury. It was at this very moment, in a spiritual suspension, Alejandro was saddened to be dead. Their fight carried over to the couch where Rose grabbed her romance novel and began to smack Madalena about the face. Madalena then shoved Rose off of her, recovered herself, and pulled out her pistol. Rose, in one agile move, kicked the gun out of Madalena's hand and clouted her in the nose. Madalena fell backwards, stumbling, and tripped. Though most of her landed on the rug, her head landed on the corner of the grand piano. The piano that no one had ever bothered to play! And she ceased to move.
What have I done? No!
Outside, in the darkness, through the storm, ran a cloaked figure into the neighborhood. He scurried past a streetlight that bore yet another wanted poster. He stopped and turned to listen to the sirens approaching nearer, for they were hunting him! In the dim incandescence of the streetlight, the figure's face could be scarcely seen. A face that matched the very one printed on the wanted poster. The figure, the killer, picked up his feet and continued to run frantically into the cul-de-sac, away from the police cars. Rose, in the meantime, was dragging the corpses of Madalena and Alejandro into the closet, panicking at the sound of the police drawing closer to the scene. She stuffed them in and frantically folded inward the stray limbs that hung out of the doorway. She forced the door close and turned to find there was a smeared trail of blood on the tile floor leading from the living room to the closet. Quickly, Rose ran to the laundry room and retrieved the floor cleanser. She began to scrub the stain desperately. The sirens drew nearer. Meanwhile, the killer looked about the houses in the cul-de-sac, hoping to find one with a large yard to hide in. In a random selection, he sprinted toward the house that contained a panic-ridden Rose. As he turned to check the distance of the police cars, he saw that they had entered the cul-de-sac. And in a rash decision, he ran into the open front door of the house. Rose, still wiping the floor, heard footsteps. She peeked down the hall from her place on the floor and saw the large cloaked man running in her direction in a panic. She stood up to stop the man, only to collide with him. Being of considerable bulk, the cloaked man had not been affected by the clash. However, Rose had been stricken like a hog by a wrecking ball. And due to the slick floor drenched in cleanser and blood, her feet slipped from under her, and she became airborne for a moment, only to meet the ground with an intense thud. She lay still without a sign of life.
Oh my goodness, oh, I'm so sorry, oh dear, oh, this is bad, oh, let's see what I can do here, oh jeez.
The serial killer said, timid as a lamb. He checked her pulse and saw that she was indeed dead. In another quick decision, he grabbed her by the legs and dragged her to the nearest closet. He set her down and opened the door. A tsunami of human remains piled in front of him.
Oh dear!
Now before him lay the bodies of Rose, Madalena, and Alejandro in a dead heap of human meat. He suddenly realized the sirens had stopped. He heard car doors slam closed. He heard footsteps accompanied by the clink-clanging of handcuffs and holsters enter the house. As he was about to run, two pistols stopped him.
Freeze, scumbag!
The cloaked killer looked down at the mountain of bodies next to him, and back at the police officers. The officers, stunned at the horrific sight, could not hold their guns steadily.
How did he... Don't you move a muscle, you monster!
And out of the silence, said the killer.
Well, I never thought this would happen to me twice.
Thank you for listening to tonight's program of I Left My Heart with the War, produced by Brant's Basement Enterprises and Darren's Magic Audio, and sponsored by Sadness. It'll be there when you get home. Good night, everyone.
Before you leave, can we try that one more time?
Freaking sick of this!
Bye.